Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good afternoon. I decided I'd start my show out this afternoon with news from New Mexico. It's one of the most liberal states in the nation, although two-thirds of the state is not liberal. But here is what the 2023 session of the New Mexico State Legislature plans to do, and here's the things that they want to do, and it's all about radical gun control bills. And it's like I said when I in the chat room, I said, we will start out with stuff from New Mexico, where the Democrats have no idea what the Second Amendment says or what the plain English of it says. The Democrats have no idea what thou shall not be infringed means. It's very simple language. You shall not infringe the rights of the people to keep and bear arms. But they're doing it. Here's what they're doing in New Mexico. It says New Mexico legislature is more than halfway through its 60-day session. The progressive anti-gun lawmakers are debating on a laundry list of extremist gun control proposals. NRA, ILA will be fighting these measures at the Roundhouse in Santa Fe, but we also need you to fully engage with the critical effort to protect your Second Amendment rights in the land of enchantment. It is imperative that you contact your state representatives and state senators and ask them to oppose these radical gun control measures. Like I said before, they have no idea what shall not be infringed means. It says contact information for state representatives and state senators can be found at www.nmlegis.gov. And if you don't know who your state lawmakers are, you can visit this link for the information at https://www.nmlegis.gov/members/find_my_legislator. And you can find out just exactly what your traitorous legislators are up to. But here's a list of the bills they're after. House Bill 9 by Representative Pamela Herndon, who is a Democrat from Albuquerque, creates criminal liability for gun owners if a minor gains access to firearms. No exceptions for authorized use of a firearm, which would have a chilling effect on youth hunting or 4-H or other competitive shooting programs. New Mexico law allows minors to own, possess, and use long guns, even handguns in some cases, for such activities. Passed House, not yet scheduled in the State Senate Judiciary Committee. So it's already passed the House. Bill 50 by Representative Patricia Roybal Cavallaro, Democrat of Albuquerque, makes it a felony to transfer or possess any standard capacity magazine capable of holding 10 or more rounds of ammunition. The 9-round limit would be the lowest in the nation and would effectively ban the use of some of the most popular pistols and rifles purchased and owned by law-abiding New Mexicans. Rolled over in the House Consumer and Public Affairs Committee. Next one, House Bill 72 by Representative Patricia Roybal Cavallaro, again, same lady, Democrat of Albuquerque, makes it a felony to possess or transfer a semi-automatic firearm converter, which could include binary triggers, which when attached to firearms do not make the firearm a machine gun under federal law. The definition section of the measure is longer than the provision setting out what activity is actually being criminalized under the act, indicating the bill is confusing and will be difficult to implement or enforce. Rolled over in the House Judiciary Committee. House Bill 100 by Representative Andrea Romero, and you notice every one of these are female, Democrat of Santa Fe, expands New Mexico's so-called universal background check law to include a mandatory 14-day waiting period on all firearm purchases. This criminal protection bill would add nothing to the existing FBI background check process and only delay your ability to exercise your Second Amendment right to defend yourself, your family, and your property. Passed all House committees and pending action on the House floor. House Bill 101 by Representative Andrea Romero, Democrat of Santa Fe, again, bans the manufacture, sale, purchase, and possession of semi-automatic firearms with detachable magazines that law-abiding citizens commonly own for self-defense, competition, and recreation, as well as certain attachments for them. Bans handguns with fixed magazines that can hold more than 15 rounds of ammunition, and long guns with fixed magazines that can hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. Bans parts or combination of parts from which such firearms can be assembled, and bans 50 BMG, .50 BMG caliber firearms and ammunition. So you're getting rid of all kinds of stuff here. Current owners of any of these firearms or items would have to register them with the New Mexico Department of State Public Safety prior to March 1st, 2024 to maintain possession or transfer them out of state or a federal firearm licensed dealer or face felony charges. They're making criminals out of law-abiding citizens, folks. Heard in the House Judiciary Committee on 217 and awaiting further committee action. House Bill 238 by Representative Joy Garrett, Democrat of Albuquerque, makes it a felony to discharge a firearm in a densely populated area, a term defined in the bill, with no exceptions for self-defense or indoor shooting ranges. Now, here is where this one comes in, folks. With this bill, shooting an intruder in your house will be illegal. So if somebody breaks into your house and you shoot them because they're pointing a gun at you, you can go to prison. Why? Because you're in a neighborhood which has all kinds of people in it, including kids, which means that you will be firing your firearm illegally, even though you're in your house, even though you're defending your family, even though somebody breaks into your house and maybe pointing a gun at you. You could still go to jail because that will be illegal to defend yourself in your own home. This is stupid and it's ridiculous. And the people who are putting these things up, these stupid women in Santa Fe and in Albuquerque and several other places, Las Cruces, and they're just idiots. They're morons. They're evil. They want protection for themselves, but they don't want us to have protection, period. I will get back to this after my intro. I'll be right back.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back. welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back. One of the things that I was just discussing is the House bills to get rid of our firearms. Now, they seem to think, just like the Democrats in Washington and the Democrats in California and the Democrats all over this nation, they seem to think that the criminals are not the problem. The problem is law-abiding citizens who own guns. And the reason why they think this is such a terrible thing is because, for one thing, they want to get rid of our ability to defend ourselves. We are the impetus to keep them narrow, and we can do it because we are armed. So they want to get rid of that one. But this last bill that I was talking about by Joy Garrett, a Democrat of Albuquerque, and it says Representative Joy Garrett, but she's nothing more than an evil, unrepresentative person. But this bill that she wants to pass, House Bill 238, makes it a felony. Now, we have to listen to this and the wording of it, folks, because there's all kinds of things they can do with this thing. And if you don't think that, like, gun ranges where you can go and fire guns at targets is not going to be included in this, you're crazy. They will go after that. But the thing says it makes it a felony to discharge a firearm in a densely populated area, and a term defined in the bill, with no exceptions for self-defense or indoor shooting ranges. There you go. And they're not including self-defense. They're not including any exceptions for self-defense. Why? Because they don't want us to be able to defend ourselves. And there's no exceptions for indoor shooting ranges. Why? Because they do not want us to know how or to fire a gun. They do not want us to be able to practice firing a gun. They do not want us to be proficient at firing a gun. They're taking all of our rights away, folks. Then it goes to the Senate here in New Mexico. Senate Bill 44 by Peter Wirth, Democrat of Santa Fe, prohibits the carrying of a firearm, including by a concealed handgun licensee, within 100 feet of a polling location during early voting or on election day, creating unnecessary and unsafe gun-free zones. Now, this passed the Senate, referred to the House Government Elections and Indian Affairs Committee. Now, this kind of thing is another one of the people are stupid and evil because they don't stop to think about this. Gun-free zones here in the United States, folks, are where most of these mass shootings occur. They don't stop to think about this. They don't stop to wonder about this. They don't even look at the stats on this. They just figure, well, we'll just make it a gun-free zone. Therefore, nobody can get in there with a gun. But what happened at Sandy Hook? What happened down in Texas at Uvalde, what happened all over this nation, actually, California. What happened in all these places that are gun-free zones? The answer is simple. People got in with guns and shot people. And nobody could stop it because the law-abiding people who were there were law-abiding. They didn't carry a gun because guns were not allowed. So why was these people going in with guns? Because they're criminals, folks. You can make all the laws in the freaking damn world, and it doesn't matter to a criminal because they'll just laugh in your face and do it anyway. This is completely insane, folks, to think that a criminal who makes his living breaking the law, gun control law, I guess I can't do that today. They are going to laugh in the faces of these people that keep coming out with these stupid gun control laws, completely going against the Constitution and the Second Amendment that says, and I've got the Second Amendment right here, folks. All I have to do is just open up the book. Here it is. Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That is plain freaking English. Democrats, go back to school. Learn what do not, shall not be infringed means. It means you cannot do this. Yet, what are you doing? You're doing exactly what the Second Amendment says you cannot do. And you're all idiots for it. You think that making it so people cannot carry guns into a place and making it a gun-free zone that everything's going to be safe? Hell no. Criminals don't give a damn about guns. They don't give a damn about laws. If they want to go into a place and shoot it up and there's a law that says they can't, they'll laugh at your faces and go in anyway with a gun. Senate Bill 116 by Senator Kerry Hamblin, Democrat of Las Cruces, bans anyone, folks, under the age of 21 from possessing any automatic or semi-automatic firearm. Now, here's the stupidity of this one. Automatic firearms are illegal for everyone except the military. You cannot own them. By law, you cannot own an automatic firearm, period. But they included in this bill this freaking woman who doesn't know what the hell she's doing. She bans anyone under the age of 21 from possessing any automatic or semi-automatic firearm, including any firearm capable of accepting a standard capacity magazine that can hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition, with limited exceptions. Also bans anyone under the age of 21 from purchasing these same firearms. Now, this one's tentatively scheduled for hearing in the State Judiciary Committee, or the Senate's Judiciary Committee, on Monday, the 27th. That's coming up, folks. Give your representative a call. Call Senator Kerry Hamblin and tell her how stupid she is. You cannot own. I don't care who you are. If you're a civilian, you're a citizen of the United States, you cannot own an automatic firearm. Did she include that in that? It's already illegal. Making another law saying you can't have it doesn't make it any more illegal. It's illegal, period. You cannot have one. This is insane. Senate Bill 171 by Senator Bill Sewells, S-O-U-L-E-S, Democrat of Las Cruces. Attempts to supersede federal law and make it a felony to transfer or acquire National Firearms Act items as well as certain semi-automatic pistols in New Mexico. Tentatively scheduled for hearing in the state's Senate Judiciary Committee on the 27th, Monday, tomorrow. By the way, both of these, tomorrow. Senate Bill 427 by Senator Joseph Cervantes, Democrat of Las Cruces, imposes a 14-day waiting period on all firearm purchases with an exception for concealed handgun licensees. This would add nothing to the existing FBI background check process and only delay your ability to exercise your Second Amendment right to defend yourself, your family, and your property. The hearing is not yet scheduled within the Senate Health and Public Affairs Committee, but it's going to be. This is insane, folks. Senate Bill 428 by Senator Joseph Cervantes, again, Democrat of Las Cruces, creates a hostile climate for lawful firearm-related industries and transactions by facilitating an increased amount of litigation and claims with vastly increased liability, exposure, and civil penalties for even minor suspected violations of the term of an FFL or a law that as the basis for Unfair Trade Practices Act proceedings. This hearing is not yet scheduled in the Senate Health and Public Affairs Committee. Folks, these are stupid. These are insane. These are wrong. Every one of these have been pushed out by Democrats who do not understand English. Period. They just don't understand English. Yet they're ruling all of us out of being able to have our constitutional rights. They're taking them away from us. Why? Because they do not know what they are doing. They're just on Grisham, our stupid governor. She's as evil as Satan himself in everything that she does. She pushes things that in this state that are totally unconstitutional. And if somebody actually has the audacity to push back on her, she goes insane, completely bonkers, and raises hell about it. The other one that I wanted to talk about today, into my audio clip that I have about what the Huffington Post has to say about execution of a killer. This one's another one, but from the Pinion Post, an election integrity expert's response to stolen elections versus unfair elections. They are different, folks, and they can both happen. This opinion piece by a former U.S. Senate candidate, Mick Rich, asked the question, was the 2020 presidential election stolen from Donald Trump, or was the 2020 presidential election unfair to Donald Trump? There is a difference between the two, and that difference is essential for Americans in future elections. This premise presents a false dichotomy that assumes that the election can be unfair or stolen, but not both. In reality, an election can be both unfair. Acknowledging the election was unfair in itself, an acknowledgement that it was stolen if the party that played unfairly was given the victory on a razor-thin margin, occurred in 2020 presidential election, trying to separate fairness from theft is a dangerous attempt to force Americans to accept unfair elections as legitimate elections. And that's what we've been, we've been made to do, folks. This last election in Arizona, where Carrie Lake was supposedly beaten by the Democrat, how many thousands of votes didn't happen because of the things that happened with the election machines that day. And it was all in Republican areas. And the last thing I've heard about this was Carrie Lake was denied a petition or denied her latest thing to do something more to try and figure out what the heck happened. That was denied. Why? Because the Democrats do not want this to be exposed because they know they did wrong. They know they cheated. They know they didn't win. And that's exactly what went on with Biden when he ran. He didn't win. But the Democrats and all of the Democrat judges that they could possibly find wouldn't allow anyone to check up on it. And if you did, or if you had the audacity enough to say, Trump won, then they'd come after you, hook, line, and sinker, destroy your lives with no apologies when what they were doing was proven wrong. 2 years have had their lives destroyed by the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party does not care. It doesn't care. Mr. Rich inaccurately describes the people who believe elections are being stolen as Trump supporters. Multiple polls have shown that between 60 and 70% of Americans believe our elections are affected by widespread cheating, and not all those people are Trump supporters. In fact, it was Democrats who attempted to blow the whistle for many years on the vulnerability and hackability of the black box electronics that comprise our election system. Democrats, folks. Many of these same Democrats are strangely silent on this topic now, but that doesn't remove the fact that those who believe there is no widespread cheating are in an ever-shrinking minority. Mr. Rich points to an Axios article that predicted a false election day Trump win as proof that the slow chipping away of Trump's significant election night leads over days and weeks was somehow honestly done. An article, folks. An article is an opinion that was used as the fact to prove that Trump didn't win. Somebody's opinion. Okay, let's see. Is Mr. Rich forgetting that the Twitter files and recent U.S. House hearings prove that the mainstream media has been colluding with leftist organizations and government agencies to manipulate the beliefs of Americans about COVID, the corruption of the Biden family, and the 2020 election? People who are powerful and corrupt enough to do those things are certainly smart enough to know they needed to establish primacy in the narrative by predicting what they were going to do in the swing states to make it appear normal and expected. In fact, they brazenly admitted that they were working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change the rules and laws, steer the media coverage, and control the flow of information in a February 21, 2021 Time magazine article. There are plenty of eyewitnesses, testimonies, and video, mathematical and statistical evidence that prove that Trump's Election Day win was not honestly erased, as Axios would have us believe. I suggest starting with this website, and they've got a link there on this article that was in the Pinion Post, and I guess I could probably maybe go to that right now, see if I can get this article. See if I can find that, the Election Day Integrity. Let's see, Election Day Integrity. There it is. I'll go to this and see if I can find that link to that article. Okay, February 21st article. This website. I'll click on that and see what it says. Election fraud, U.S. 2020 election fraud at a glance. The film 2000 Mules, it says this on this, shows true the votes video evidence of a coordinated, funded, illegal ballot trafficking network across critical swing states, including Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Mississippi, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Texas. The U.S. 2020 presidential election counted a record-breaking 158 million votes, 22 million higher than the previous election, and yet was decided by only 42,918 votes, or 0.027% across Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. In the days and weeks following, many dozens of anomalies, eyewitness accounts, and sworn testimonies emerged showing election tampering, yet they were overlooked or minimized by mainstream media and news outlets. In spite of increasing evidence, officials in many key states have obstructed open and transparent audits of the results. Was the election fair and legitimate? You decide for yourself. And then there's a video there, and it's at electionfraud20.org, which is a government place. So you can go to that and find out what the heck is in. But it says, I suggest starting with this website, which I just read from, which contains a wealth of information on the massive amount of evidence that points to widespread fraud in elections all over the country, particularly in swing states. Does anyone who is intellectually honest and wants to continue denying that the 2020 election was stolen must deal with the substance of this evidence, because they can't honestly continue to parrot that it doesn't exist. It does exist. It's there. This statement in Mr. Rich's article was an odd one. And the statement was, quote, Trump supporters believe that there were enough close states that illegal activity needs to, you need to contact to win the right precincts, to win the right counties, to win their election. It is known ahead of time exactly which counties any election will hinge on and by approximately how many votes. Before 2020, most of us assumed that this campaign targeting was typically being conducted in a fair and legal way, but now we are certain it is not. The tiny margins of victory in the handful of swing states that swung 2020 in favor of Biden do not amount to millions of votes, as Mr. Rich stated, but rather a few thousand. Could a few thousand votes have been inserted illegally in each of these swing states, either through ballot stuffing or digital manipulation? Yes, they could have. And evidence suggests that's exactly what happened. Now, if we had, say, if Trump had won, well, he did, but say if Biden lost, and the Democrats found out all of these discrepancies that were against the Democrats were actually against the Republicans, do you think that Trump would have stayed in the office? No, he would not have. He would have been taken out. He would have been removed. Trump would not have been left in the White House. But because it was against the Democrat, all the Democrat judges in all of the nation, all of the media in all of the nation, except for the conservative part, totally poo-pooed it and pushed it aside. And because of that, Biden is still our bumbling, grumbling, stupid president. In closing, it says, I would remind the readers that mainstream media has staunchly insisted over the last several years that conservative viewpoints were not being censored on any platform. They claim no evidence existed to believe such a thing. They called their they called in their experts, not experts that were not theirs, just their experts, and sponsored studies to make people who knew their voices were being silenced look crazy. but Elon Musk's Twitter files and recent U.S. House hearings that have proven the media lied about censorship, just like they lied about the Biden laptop and Russia collusion. It's only a matter of time before they will be shown to be lying about widespread election fraud, something that we all know about. Even the ones who do not believe it happened know in the back of their minds that Trump won. In closing, I reject the false dichotomy of an unfair versus a stolen election. Unfair is stolen. But that's not even the fundamental issue. The fundamental issue is that the vast majority of Americans believe the current electronic election system is not trustworthy and leaves the door wide open for widespread fraud. This is reason enough to reform our elections in a way that restores confidence. And the American peoples have to be confident in the outcomes of the elections. Because if this continues, folks, if this continues, the American people are going to rise up. The government will be hell-bent to keep it from happening because they won't be able to. Why do you think they're trying to take all of our guns away? I just told you the reason right there. But that means voter ID and a return to paper ballots that are hand-counted with bipartisan oversight in a precinct level, at the precinct level. It means full transparency and accountability in every step of the process and the rejection of electronic black box voting machines. There you go, folks. And then I even added a couple of the comments on this. But the article ended with, yes, tell me why this last election. I voted in one county in northern New Mexico, and I looked at my vote, and it stated I voted in Albuquerque. It steals votes from you. All the SOS Bureau of Election did was change the name. I wrote a letter with no response. Another comment. New Mexico has the Dominion system that is tied to the internet. That in itself is illegal. It is. Our voting system has gotten to be a joke. No sense in voting again until the system is fair. People are seated. Another one. All the systems are tied to the internet. If you plug the system into an electrical outlet, it can be connected to the internet. Fact. Hand-counted paper ballots are the only way to clear out most of this corruption. This is true, folks. Why do you think the Democrats are so against this? Because they have a way to cheat with these Dominion machines. They don't want to lose that way to cheat. Another comment. Trying to separate fairness from theft is a dangerous attempt to force Americans to accept unfair elections as legitimate elections. I completely agree. I distrust our election system at the state and nationwide levels. As voters, we are being screwed. Another one. Right on, Aaron. My thoughts exactly as I read Rich's article. It reflected someone trying to play both sides of the fence and trying to distance himself from MAGA, but not at the same time. I'd say he portrayed himself as too smart by half. Folks, here we are. This is really getting sick. This is really getting insane. And I've gone way past my time for my break. So I will give the break right now. We will be right back.
Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
If
you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. Color only day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Dashboard, baby, take a ride and come on.
Okay, we are back. Call in number 646-478-5284. In the maybe the next show or sometime during this show, I may get a call. I have asked Louis Sanchez, who ran for Senate here in New Mexico, to join me on this thing that I read at the beginning of the show of the House bills and the Senate bills that are trying to take all of our Second Amendment rights away. He is the one who handed me this thing. So if he calls in, I'm going to go ahead and give the show to him for the time being, because these are things that we have to start thinking about. But this is something I found the other day, and it's an audio. Cut one of Education According to the HuffPo. Here, this, or Execution According to the HuffPo, this is about a convicted killer who was put to death. And the liberal media seems to think that he was not the bad guy here. Listen to this.
The Huffington Post has long been one of the most deplorable examples of left-wing propaganda in this country, and they had another beauty this week, equating Governor Ron DeSantis to convicted killer Donald Dilbeck, whose execution DeSantis just signed off on. Dilbeck finally executed yesterday in Florida for two killings. The Huffington Post editorial board seemed more sympathetic to this killer than the governor who finalized his execution. A headline claiming Dilbeck was a political pawn, you see here, almost as if he didn't deserve to die, but just died because of politics. The Rags article negates to tell you that Dilbeck killed a police officer and then escaped and then killed a woman as well, saying that the execution was only punishment for the stabbing death of a woman. But Dilbeck actually escaped from custody after killing Lee County Deputy Dwight Hall before he killed Faye Van years ago. The Huffington Post was incensed that Ron DeSantis sent Bill Beck to die with a not unanimous decision on the death penalty. So not everybody agreed to give him the death penalty on this jury. Bill Beck's statement to the governor before he went night-night was, "I know I hurt people when I was young. I really messed up, but I know Ron DeSantis has done a lot worse. He's taken a lot from a lot of people. I speak for all men, women, and children. He's put his foot on our necks." Well, Ron Dilbeck, from all of us, how about you, rotten hell? The children of Faye Vann praised Governor DeSantis' decision in their impact statement, writing, 11,932 days ago, Donald Dilbeck brutally killed our mother. We were robbed of years of memories with her, and it has been very painful ever since. However, the execution has given us some closure. We are grateful to Governor Ron DeSantis for carrying out the sentence. So whose side are you on? The Huffington Post seems to side with, you know, violent killers. Whose side are you on?
Yeah, there you go. Whose side are you on this one? Now, outlets like the Huffing and Puffing Huffington Post and CNN and MSNBC all seem to think that criminals are not the bad people here, that they only did the things they did because of the way they were raised. No, they did the things they did because they have no freaking conscience and they don't care about anything but their own ideals. And if their ideals are taken away from them, or they feel that they are taken away from them by somebody, then they have the right to kill somebody. That's not how the Constitution works. That's not how our laws work. But according to the left, that's how they work. And we need to start thinking about this here, because, folks, our laws are being completely destroyed in this country. Remember this last year, last summer, when the CHOP areas were designated in downtown Seattle by rioters, by lawless people, by Black Lives Matter, by Antifa? Nobody did anything about that. People were killed over this. People were killed by Black Lives Matter over this. People were killed by Antifa over this, to jail. And all of this came down because of the perceived wrongness of Derek Chauvin putting his knee on the neck of this criminal. And I've watched that video on that. He didn't do it to the point where this man couldn't move, couldn't do anything. He was raising his head up. He was doing things. Yet, Chauvin is in prison now. Why? For doing his job. He may have kept his knee on the neck of this man for too long. He may have. But what we are looking at here is we're looking at stuff that happens in the spur of the moment when you have just your training to go by. And something bad happens. The bad guy is the cop. It's no wonder so many cops in this nation today are getting out of the job. Some of them are probably even going into being a private eye. They've got the training. But they are being blackballed because they're cops. You have these people in Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all these morons that follow them. Burning cities down all last summer while CNN would have video crews out there showing all of the destruction going on, buildings on fire behind them, firebombs being thrown, guns being fired at people. Well, the reporter says, this is a mostly peaceful demonstration. No, it was a freaking riot. Riots are not constitutionally protected, folks. Demonstrations are. But the moment you become violent in these things, you cease to be constitutionally supported. If you start getting violent in these kind of things, destroying property, federal or private, that is when you become a criminal. These people are nothing but criminals. And the reason why we have so many bad things happening in this country today is because the criminal or law-abiding citizens are now the bad guys. That's just the way this country is going. And until we start to turn this around, until we start allowing the people who are law-abiding citizens to be law-abiding citizens instead of having people like here in New Mexico with those damn gun bills, gun control bills that I read you at the beginning of the show. Every one of them are unconstitutional. Every one of them go against the Second Amendment. But the Democrats who are in charge don't care. Feign ignorancy. And they go, well, we don't know anything about what shall not be infringed means, so we're going to go ahead and infringe it anyway. The idea, folks, that we are allowing in this country the things that are happening, like that one thing that I... Let me see if I can find it here. That one House bill. By Representative Joy Garrett, Democrat of Albuquerque, House Bill 238. Says it makes it a felony to discharge a firearm in a densely populated area. The term is undefined in the bill, and it's undefined because they want to be able to define it the way they want. But it makes it a felony to discharge a firearm in a densely populated area with no exceptions for self-defense or indoor shooting ranges. Folks, this will make it illegal to protect your family with a firearm inside your house. Do you want that? Do you want to be able to defend your family in your own home from an intruder who means you harm? Or do you want to let the government take all of your rights away while this person that breaks into your house has all the rights? You shoot him, you're the bad guy. He may have broken into your house. He may have threatened you with a gun. He may have actually fired the gun at you. But if you kill him, you're the criminal. This is where we are going in this country, folks. This is what the Democrats are leading us to. This is what the Democrats are doing to our nation. And then they try and tell us that people who believe in making America great again are racist and are tyrannical. No, they're not. People who believe in making America great again, they also believe that if we allow this country to be torn down like the Democrats are doing right now, there will be no other place for us to go. We will lose all of our freedoms. We will lose our abilities to defend ourselves unless we go underground and become criminals ourselves. That's where all this is heading, folks. That is where all of this is heading. And if we don't put a stop to it, the evil Democrats are going to put a stop to America. They're aiming at the Constitution, the law of the land, folks. They're taking it apart piece by piece. They're working on the Second Amendment now. They're also working on the First Amendment. Those two fall, folks. The rest are going to fall right in line. And the amendments in our Constitution that are protecting us as citizens will no longer protect us as citizens. And as citizens, we will lose all of our freedoms. We will be right back. Well, I've still got another minute or so. But we have to listen to when they put a bill together. We have to listen to the way it's worded. It's like that, the one I just read you, House Bill 238, makes it a felony to discharge a firearm in a densely populated area, leaving the term undefined in the bill, with no exceptions for self-defense. So if you shoot somebody in your house, which is in a densely populated area because the neighborhood has houses all around it, okay, you're a criminal. Even if you're defending your family, you're a criminal. And they also make no exceptions for indoor shooting ranges. So if this bill passes the way it reads right now, you'll become a criminal if you defend your family in your home with a gun. You will become a criminal, and mark my words, this will happen. You will become a criminal if you fire a gun at a gun range. A gun range, folks, a place that's made for firing guns, become a criminal. This is insane. We will be right back. We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned. Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Ben Fisher, that he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Dean's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. One of the things that I had found, and this one's from U.S. News Break, Kevin McCarthy calls out Mayorkas over the border crisis, and this is something that I can't find a date on this, but it's apparently it came from usnewsbreak.com. Border control has been at the forefront of a constant debate since President Joe Biden took office in January in 2021. He reversed many of former President Donald Trump's policies, and there have been a significant influx of immigrants across, and they've got this listed as immigrants. They're invaders, folks. They're illegal invaders. Let's get this right. Let's stop calling them immigrants because they're not. But there has been a significant influx of illegals crossing the border, the southern border, over the last couple of years. In fiscal year 2022, arrests topped 2 million, half a million more than the previous year. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, recently visited the border and immediately took aim at Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. According to The Hill, McCarthy called out Mayorkas directly in a press conference from Arizona, telling him to stop lying to the American public. Republicans have long said Mayorkas is deceiving the public by saying the border is secure, which it isn't. I live down here. I know it isn't. When the numbers and the conditions speak otherwise, McCarthy noted the situation at the border, questioning the fact that despite there being no legislative change, there's a very real problem with the illegals crossing into the United States, detected or not. In the specific region of Cochise County, Arizona, McCarthy and the numbers said the numbers have gone from 66,000 in the Trump era to 250,000 now during Biden's reign. The House Speaker also called out the current president's change in policies that led to unfinished gaps in the border wall and inactive lights, along with supplies and American tax dollars paid for but still sit unused. All this stuff is out there, folks, to finish that border wall. All the stuff has been paid for. All that needs to be done is have those pieces that are sitting out there to build the border wall to be used to finish the border wall. The parts are already there. The parts have already been paid for. But because of Biden, we can't do it. Stopped it all. Freshman Arizona Representative Juan Ciscomani, Republican, also joined McCarthy in calling for Mayorkas to address the issues and says the best way he can do that is by visiting the border and seeing what he and McCarthy observed there. Now, if he visits the border, if they do the same thing as they did when Biden went there, it's not going to do any good. Because Biden went down there. Sure, he went there, but he didn't see anything. Why? Because they cleaned the place up and got rid of all the illegals that were sleeping on the streets before Biden arrived. So they sanitized it for him. So it was nothing more than a photo op to show the American people nothing was going on down there. And once he was gone, they all came back. The only way to really get an idea on how the issue is affecting those locally, he says, is to talk to the people that they talk to. Many Republicans are calling to impeach Mayorkas, and so far it seems that McCarthy supports, at the very least, an inquiry into the measure. He has previously insisted the Homeland Security Secretary should resign. Absolutely, he should. Folks, this whole idea that the Biden administration is allowing all of this to continue is nothing more than treason. And I will get to an article that I have here about the press secretary being grilled on Biden's negligence of East Palestine, Ohio. This has been horrible, folks. Not one person, not one Democrat has gone to East Palestine until President Trump went there on Wednesday. He went there on Wednesday and helped people, brought in crates of water, he brought in food, he brought in help for these people. And you and I didn't pay for this, folks. Trump did. If Biden did it, we'd be paying for it. Trump showed the leadership that this country needs when it came to East Palestine. And what happened there? The Democrats haven't. They've shown a complete disdain. They've shown a complete disdain for what happened there. They don't want to discuss it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to do anything about it. And as long as we keep allowing the Democrats and the government to do the things that they are doing to push the America Last episode that Biden and the left want, America will never win. I will get back to that in a few minutes. I found an article from One America News, yes, that DirecTV got rid of last year. Holocaust education failures are not just a schooling problem. They're a moral one. Sorry about that. I hit my microphone. Views expressed by guest commentators may not reflect the views of One America News or its affiliates, but an alarming number of younger Americans do not know the facts of the Holocaust, much less understand its full cultural and historical significance. Nearly two-thirds of millennials and the Generation Z Americans didn't know that 6 million Jewish people were killed, and over half of that subgroup put the death toll at less than 2 million. This isn't just concerning from an educational perspective. It's an important moral and political. It's an important moral and political reality. Sound education is an irreplaceable part of our experiment in self-government. Failures in education will undermine American politics in short order, and we can see it happening now, daily. If we forget or neglect to teach about history's great evils, we risk succumbing unknowingly to the same temptations and follies that drove those atrocities. We must remain vigilant if we are to remain free. I have said this many times. Many other people have said this many times. And until we start realizing that what was just said is the truth, this nation is going to continue to flounder, folks. Thomas Jefferson knew this. He was radically committed to the project of education in America, repeatedly stressing its significance for a free people when he said, quote, "I think by far the most important bill in our whole code is that for the diffusion of knowledge among the people," unquote. Jefferson wrote of the emerging American legal code in a letter to George Wythe, quote, no other sure foundation can be devised for the preservation of freedom and happiness," unquote. In another letter a few years later, this time to Littleton Tazewell, celebrating the establishment of a university and outlining his own thoughts on its design, he wrote that he was convinced that the people are the only safe depositories of their own liberty, and that they are not safe unless enlightened to a certain degree. He continued, quote, "I have looked on our present state of liberty as a short-lived possession, unless the mass of the people could be informed to a certain degree." Indeed. And we now face evidence of all sorts of our educational system is failing to inform the citizens it prepares for such liberty. There is also a separation of issues of doing justice as Christians to the history and safety of Jewish men and women. The story of Christianity begins with the tribes of Israel, and our alliance with them persists in a modern form to this day. Careful attention to all aspects of our Judeo-Christian heritage, including the grave and historically unprecedented suffering of past Jewish men and women, is crucial. If we grow insensitive to or ignorant of the history of the Jewish people and of Israel, we lose part of our own identity and risk estranging ourselves from one of our most important allies. It isn't enough to avoid indulging or cultivating anti-Semitism. We must know the history of the Jewish people, honor it, and protect them and failure to do so, or failure, as in this case, to correct lapses in ongoing efforts at Holocaust education, is a failure to uphold a responsibility both to our faith and to our freedoms. American Christians have a duty to learn well from history and to steward the hard-won moral lessons it holds for us. Our ongoing liberty depends on it, and our faith demands it. Now, this was written by Timothy Head, who is the executive director of Faith and Freedom Coalition. But I read that one because of something else that I found that is insanely just horrible. This is from the Daily Caller News Foundation, and this is about education that's going on today. The headline, "Teacher Saluted Hitler, Told Students They Were Indoctrinated Against Truth About Jews." This was written by WND News Services on February 23rd. Has history of pushing anti-Semitic beliefs in his classroom. This was written by Kate Anderson. High school teacher Henry Benz reportedly used the Heil Hitler salute in class and forced students to read a book promoting the idea that the Jews manipulated the U.S. and Germany in World War II, and is still teaching despite complaints made to the school's administration. Benz reportedly refuted the claim that he was anti-Semitic, according to one of his students that spoke with the Jewish News in Northern California. And of course, this is in California, folks, arguing that the word Semitic in the dictionary does not mention Jews at all. In just 1 week, multiple students have come forward to share that they are in a learning space in which their teacher performs the Hitler salute, senior student Ruchita Verma said. A California high school teacher saluted Hitler in class and told students that they were indoctrinated when it came to the truth about Jewish people and the Holocaust, according to a student and teacher comments made during a board meeting this last week. Mount Eden High School English teacher Henry Benz reportedly has a history of pushing anti-Semitic beliefs in his classroom for several years, according to a senior student who spoke during the recent board meeting on February 15th. Benz allegedly used the Heil Hitler salute in class on several occasions and forced students to read the book The Hidden Tyranny, which promotes the Holocaust denial conspiracy, according to the Jewish News of Northern California. The book is subtitled The Satanic Power Which Promotes and Directs Chaos in Order to Lay Low All Civilization in Preparation for a Well-Outlined Plan for World Dictatorship, was written by Benjamin Friedman in 2009 and claims to explain, quote, how the Jews manipulated U.S. politicians and Germany during World War II, unquote, resulting in the Holocaust, according to the book's description. Benz had his 10th grade English class read parts of the book to, quote, remove the blindfold from students, according to the Jewish News of Northern California. School administrators were reportedly alerted to Ben's behavior in December of 2022, but failed to act on any of the students' or the teachers' concerns. Why? They should have acted immediately, folks, but they didn't. According to a testimony from Ben's current and former students, as well as his colleagues, Mount Eden High School English teacher Heather Eastwood told the board that she felt the need to confront the administration because, quote, Holocaust denial and anti-Semitic hate speech are being taught here, unquote, despite the board knowing about the accusations since December 13th. I'm here today to sound the alarm about the appalling silence of our administration at Mount Eden High School and at the district level, Eastwood said. My complaint today is that the school's administration have done nothing to remedy this situation, to address the anti-Semitism. They've done nothing to address the harm caused to us as people and professionals forced to work alongside someone who attacked our character, professional qualifications for objecting to anti-Semitism. Benz reportedly refuted the claim that he was anti-Semitic, according to one of his students that spoke with the Jewish News in Northern California, arguing that the word Semitic in the dictionary does not mention Jews at all. Benz told a student, quote, I'm not teaching anti-Semitism. When people start lying, remember this. Some people are so blinded by what they believe or what they think that they use kids to lie, unquote. Senior student Rupita Verma also expressed her frustration at the school's inaction during the board meeting. Verma said, quote, in just 1 week, multiple students have come forward to share that they are in a learning space in which their teacher performs the Hitler salute, unquote. Another student, David Felix Rogers, noted during the meeting that he had been in Ben's class 2 years earlier as a sophomore and he could no longer be silent. Rogers said, quote, I ignore what he said then, but I'm not going to ignore it when I hear sophomores I know today saying the same anti-Jewish conspiracies that I heard then. When I know this teacher is teaching out of an anti-Semitic book and the administration has known for 2 months, and after 2 months of them knowing, they finally said, oh, you're not supposed to be teaching about this book. What took 2 months for them to finally say that you probably shouldn't teach out of a book that was used to justify genocide? Unquote. Ben's Facebook promotes the Black Hebrew Israelite ideology that believes black people are the real Jews, as well as the belief that the Jewish people are in control of the media. They're not, the left is. Ben's also is still listed as a member of the faculty on the school's website and has not been removed from his position, according to the testimony at the board meeting. Mount Eden High School, Ben's, and Eastwood did not immediately respond to the Daily Caller News Foundation's request for comment. Folks, our children are being taught things they shouldn't be taught. I found an article today that came in that said this day in history, February 26th, which was is actually today. And we are actually having a lot of fun doing this, but today in history, in 2012, Florida teen Trayvon Martin is shot and killed. Remember how Obama said, oh, he could have been my own kid, and started this ruckus that started what we've got going today. It says on February 26, 2012, Trayvon Martin, an African-American teen walking home from a trip to a convenience store, is fatally shot by George Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch for patrolling the townhouse community of the retreat at Twin Lakes in Sanford, Florida. Zimmerman later claimed to have, and then it says read more and goes into an article that I didn't go into. But it goes on for the 19th century. In 1929, the Grand Teton National Park is established. And this was all on today, folks. American Revolution. 1813, Robert R. Livingston, a.k.a. the Chancellor, dies. Art and literature, film history. Says that in 1564, Christopher Marlowe is baptized. When it comes to crime, 1993, World Trade Center was bombed today. 1993. In 1990, the Sandinistas are defeated in Nicaraguan elections. In 1984, the last U.S. Marines leave Beirut. In 1919, two national parks preserved 10 years apart. In 1968, this was from the Vietnam War, mass graves discovered in Hue. Remember that one, folks? I know a lot of people don't, but they should. World War I. President Wilson learns of the Zimmerman telegram in 1917. World War II. 1935. Hitler authorizes the founding of the Reich Luftwaffe. 1945, U.S. troops recapture Philippine island of Corregidor. Remember that battle was quite a big one and was actually a turning point. But that is what all happened today. That's a lot of stuff happening today. Now I will get to Biden's negligence of East Palestine. And this article was in Western Journal. It says the Biden administration could easily be defined by three words: mediocrity, dishonest, and ineptitude. All three of those words describe perfectly the Biden administration. No single person embodies these unimpressive personal attributes more than White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. The face of the White House actually stated on Thursday that President Joe Biden's decision to ignore the people of East Palestine, Ohio, is an example of leadership. Somebody should have shut her up right then and there. That's not an example of leadership. What Trump did this last Wednesday was an example of leadership, not what Biden has done. It goes on to say, these are people whose lives were upended beginning on February 3rd when, through no fault of their own, when their community became the site of an ecological catastrophe. A Norfolk Southern train carrying thousands of gallons of toxic chemicals derailed, leaving the wildlife devastated and people afraid of their air and water. And now the Democrats are trying to blame Trump for this. And this whole thing with them trying to blame Trump comes in because of the derailment. They say that Trump got rid of a thing that had been put in by Obama. It had something to do with the brakes. The problem with this, folks, is the brakes had nothing to do with this accident. An overheated bearing did. So they're trying to push the blame onto Trump on this that happened on their watch. And because they can't think of anything better to do, they will blame the previous president, even though he hasn't been in office for over 2 years. We will be right back. I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM, and see what happens then, where America always wins. Okay, now I did a new ad for that one, and this is it. I should have played this one instead, but I think this is it right here. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is looking to bring in new shows so we can reach more people. We report the truth, not the spin of the liberal mainstream media. We worry because laws are not being enforced, and if you tell the truth, you could lose everything. You can't even walk in once safe neighborhoods. You are likely to get killed doing that. Right now we have two shows, NWCR Radio and Black by Color Only. American by Design is on hiatus. We believe in God, law and order, and the Constitution. We believe our borders must be closed to illegals, and there are only two sexes, and we honor our veterans and our boys in blue, too. If you like expressing the truth and love for America, send us an email to Conservative Nation Media, all one word, 2017 at gmail.com. Tell us your show ideas, and we will get back with you. We are Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Join us today. That was High in the Sky Drone Services, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is your one-stop shop for drone photography from a perspective that for a company was hard to get before without endangering the health of your employees. Get aerial photography easy with High in the Sky Drone Services at 505-317-8741 and rest easy in your decision. Biden's negligence of East Palestine. Press secretary was grilled on Biden's negligence. Reporter's simple question leaves her speechless. Buttigieg was finally interested in a community besieged by toxins this week, but it was only after former President Donald Trump announced he would tour the devastation. Biden, meanwhile, instead of taking care of American business, visited Ukraine this week to give away more money to the citizens of that country. He has not yet shown any interest in the people of East Palestine. On Thursday, a CNN reporter named Jeremy Diamond, of all people, actually asked the president's press secretary about it. Her response was shocking in both its ineptitude and its dishonesty. The question was, do you approve of Biden's handling of the Ohio crisis? Diamond said, quote, so I guess I'm just struggling to understand why the president wouldn't go to East Palestine. Does it simply not meet the bar for a presidential visit? Unquote. The press secretary was momentarily unable to answer the question. When she finally did, she said, quote, leadership matters. That's what you are seeing. Instead of political stunts, what we're seeing from the other side. But she said, I want to be very clear here. There's no reason to struggle, I don't think, on this question. After she gathered herself, she resumed the spin. She claimed that Biden had fielded numerous phone calls about the derailment in actions she delineated as leadership. Leadership matters, Jean-Pierre said before she took an apparent shot at Trump. That's what you are seeing instead of political stunts that we are seeing from the other side. Jean-Pierre is mediocre at best in regard to her ability to communicate messages. She is certainly more inept than her predecessor, Jen Psaki, a woman who was completely, who was objectively speaking, not good at her job. But Jean-Pierre reigns supreme in her ability to balance lying, gaslighting, and simultaneously being wholly inept. She is unrivaled in these categories as far as recent press secretaries are concerned. Biden has been nowhere for the people of Eastern Ohio. Jean-Pierre told the entire world Thursday that his apparent lack of empathy for not only Americans, but also their environment is somehow an example of supreme crisis management. If the past is in any way indicative of what we can expect in the future, this is the best the White House has to offer. I don't know. But Trump, this one was good because Trump did go to East Palestine. He went Wednesday. And the article that I found about this also came from Western Journal, but it says only one current or former president has paid a visit to East Palestine, Ohio, the site of a train derailment on February 3rd that led to the release of a cloud of toxic gas over the town. And here's a hint. It wasn't Joe Biden. Instead, it was former President Donald Trump, currently campaigning to get his old job back. After flying in to visit the town on Wednesday, Trump said had a three-word message for Biden, who'd been busy making headlines with a visit to Europe. And those three words, get over here. In too many cases, your goodness and perseverance were met with indifference and betrayal, Trump told East Palestine residents in a remark at the firehouse a half a mile from where the wreck happened, according to Associated Press. Trump has appeared with GOP Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio and East Palestine Mayor Trent Conaway, among other state and local leaders. He added that the residents of the town need answers and results as opposed to excuses. However, his pointed message to the current president came as he was asked if he had a message for Biden personally. Trump responded, get over here. Other videos showed the former president receiving a warm welcome from residents. In one clip posted by a former White House aide, Dan Scavino, an individual could be heard telling Trump, thank you for not forgetting about us. During the visit, Trump also drew a contrast between what he would have done were he president and what Biden administration was doing. For starters, he told reporters FEMA would have been here a long time ago. According to the New York Post, a federal emergency management agency was only sent out to the site 2 weeks after the derailment of Norfolk Southern train and the subsequent release of vinyl chloride and other hazardous gases. Now, if this would have happened with Trump and he waited 2 weeks to send in FEMA, all hell would have broken loose, just like with Katrina. In FEMA, he'd have been impeached successfully. The Biden administration had contended that FEMA wasn't the appropriate management agency since no residential structures had been physically damaged by the derailment. FEMA is on the front lines when there's a hurricane or a tornado, an administration official said. This situation is different. Instead, the administration contended the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Environment Protection Agency and the Department of Health and Human Services were the appropriate agencies to deal with the disaster, but they didn't call them in right away. During his remarks, Trump also struck a blow at Biden for making a heavily promoted visit to Ukraine without ever bothering to visit East Palestine. He said, quote, I sincerely hope that when your representatives and all the politicians get here, including Biden, to get back from touring Ukraine, that he's got some money left over, Trump said during his remarks. At the time of his visit to Kyiv earlier this week, Biden had yet to announce plans to visit East Palestine, a sign that he might not be willing to get over there anytime too soon. Now, do you agree with Trump that Biden should visit Ohio? I do. He should go there. But if he does, it's not going to do any good. Biden's not interested in Americans. Biden's not interested in helping Americans. Trump is, but Biden isn't. That's why Trump got impeached, because he's helping. He wants to help Americans. Democrats do not. It's worth noting that Ohio has 17 electoral votes and a sensational election coming up, senatorial election coming up in 2024. East Palestine is also right on the border with Pennsylvania, a state with 19 electoral votes and its own 2024 senatorial race. In other words, that decision could end up costing Biden and his Democratic Party very dearly in another year and a half's time when Americans go to the polls again. Okay, folks. We need to start watching what is going on here. East Palestine is a mess now. And Biden couldn't see fit to going to see them or sending in FEMA or sending anyone else in when it was needed. He only did it after the fact. And it's like I said, if a Republican president had been in office when this happened, instead of to East Palestine, the news media would have been all hawkish about it. They would have been hell-bent to tear down the presidency because he did not do what was right for Americans. Where are they now? They're nowhere to be seen. Most of the news that I'm hearing about East Palestine, Ohio, that has anything to do with any help coming to them, is not coming from the lamestream, lying liberal media. It's not coming from CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS. It's coming from Newsmax, the entity that was gotten rid of by. They said a week ago that they want to return them, but only on their terms. No, folks. They want Newsmax to come back, but not be paid to come back. They keep telling everybody that they were doing cost-cutting when getting rid of Newsmax. No, they weren't. They're paying CNN more than they were paying Newsmax. A lot less viewership. They're paying NBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, and others to be there. And all of them have less listenership than Newsmax did. And 1 year ago, before this happened, they got rid of One America News. And yes, I still find things from One America News because I still watch them. They're on a local channel here from my TV. We have to start realizing here, folks, that the left in this country is trying to destroy our ways of finding out what is really going on. That's why Newsmax has been taken out of 13 million American homes. They can't do it to me because I don't pay for DirecTV, and I never will. I had DirecTV at one time, and we got rid of them. Because for one thing, they cost us too much to get what we got. At that point in time, Newsmax was a brand new thing, and I very seldom ever watched them. I started to after I found out what they were doing on my TV here in Albuquerque, surprisingly enough. But here's what we got going here. America is being led around by the nose, by the left, by the administration that doesn't give a damn about any of us, conservative news. The only thing you hear from the media is how historic it was that Biden went into Ukraine and was in Kiev, and air raid sirens were going off. How brave he was to do this. Folks, what you have to realize here is if there was any danger to President Biden while he was there, he would not have been there. The State Department would not have allowed that to happen. So he was safe. There was no historically brave shit that he was doing because it wasn't brave. He was ignoring what he was supposed to be doing and pushing some other agenda because he knew the liberal lying media would cover for him. And they did. They covered for him every bit of the way. In New Mexico, the House passes, and this was on February 21st. This was something that I was going to talk about on Friday, and I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. New Mexico House passes extreme abortion transgender election bills. On Tuesday, the House, New Mexico House of Representatives passed two extreme pieces of legislation, one regarding abortion and transgenderism, and one regarding elections. HB 7 by Representative Linda Soronto, Democrat of Santa Fe, which would force public bodies to facilitate abortions and gender-affirming care, passed the chamber on a vote of 38-31 after a lengthy three-hour debate. Six Democrats joined all the Republicans in opposing the extreme bill that still passed. Soronto claimed the bill would save lives due to access to abortion and gender procedures, despite statistics showing such access either increases suicide regarding abortion or doesn't statistically affect suicide rates, gender procedures. Multiple amendments, including creating standards of care and mandating parental involvement in a gender or abortion surgery. The bill explicitly bans municipalities and counties from passing local laws to protect children in the womb from being aborted, meaning places like Roosevelt County would be banned from enforcing their ordinances. And remember, I was telling you a few weeks ago that the southern part of New Mexico is putting together a whole bunch of laws banning this. Well, this HB 7 is to get rid of the state's counties being able to do the things in their counties which they constitutionally should have. Republicans, the bill explicitly bans, the bill explicitly bans municipalities and counties from passing local laws to protect children in the womb from being aborted, meaning places like Roosevelt County in the southeast would be banned from enforcing their ordinances that they have just passed. Public bodies from discriminating against persons based on their use or non-use of reproductive gender-affirming care, meaning it could push teachers and any other public workers to support body mutilation for all ages, including children, as well as abortion, according to the bill's fiscal impact report. Any branches of the state government, such as school districts and universities that receive state funding, would also open up conscientious objectors to civil suits. House Bill 4 by Representative Gail Chazy, notice all of these are women, folks, passed the chamber after a three-hour debate around 11:21 p.m. The bill would create an automatic absentee voter registry and automatic registration at the motor vehicle division without customers' consent and allow felon voting, among other measures that would be ripe for fraud. Everything that the government is doing on the left makes everything ripe for fraud. But they don't want to say anything about that. There's 44 thoughts on the New Mexico passing the extreme abortion, transgender abortion election bills. Angus says, let's see. The state has record money to spend. The roads and bridges are falling apart. Crime is out of control. Drugs are out of control. The schools are a complete failure. Yet this is the priority, tranny nonsense and abortions. Oh, let's not forget to double down on voter fraud. New Mexico's legislature is a complete failure, but you knew this already. Ronnie Cisneros said, I agree. Bought off and paid legislators will agree to anything as long as they are able to keep their status. Dee says, this breaks my heart. So much could actually be done to help the people in New Mexico. It is clear that the legislature is only interested in pushing the far-left agenda, and they are succeeding. B says, calling, writing letters, registering to speak on the public comments of the Zooms. I work 60-plus hours a week and somehow find time to get involved. So if I can do it, anyone can. It's laziness on the part of the people who live here. If you are heartbroken over all this, what are you personally going to do to help remedy it? And if you're unhappy about how current legislators are doing their jobs, step it up. Call or email their offices regularly. Become their worst nightmare. When campaign season comes around, align with their opponents and campaign for them. One of the things that needs to happen in this state is getting Maggie Screws Oliver out of office. Until that happens, make her life miserable. Call her out on social media. Write letters to other legislators. When you see her CYA interviews in the papers, call or write the editor. Give them the facts and demand a correction. She is at the heart of a lot of the election BS in this state and has gotten away with so much because most citizens are lazy. And Will commented with that one, very well said. Get it. They are cheating elections. They are redefining the entire state to give them a permanent majority. They don't answer to their constituents anymore. Only the DNC and Schwab at the WEF. Wake up. Ellen says, this is horrible. It makes me sick also. We will also lose more good doctors. Satan is winning the state. Doctors are leaving the state because of what the legislators are doing. Pamela says, agreed. There are very, very few doctors in New Mexico worth going to already. And I am now going to Texas for dental work to fix the dental mess they created here in New Mexico. This is all so sad and so bad, as if the state needed any more bad. Connie says, exactly. Cindy says, this state is definitely swirling the toilet bowl in hell. Folks, this is what we have here in New Mexico. This is what we will have in America if we do not all wake up as a citizenry and stop this. We will be right back. We're getting ready to do a third hour. Stay tuned, and we will be right back. Okay. Here is the beginning of the third hour.
Welcome to Hour 3 of NWCR Radio. Stay tuned for more great content.
Okay, Hour 3 is here now, and because of the way that Blog Talk Radio does things, this will not be heard by anybody until it's put into the archives. Iconic billionaire found shot dead in Manhattan office building. And this is a report from Western Journal by Jack Davis. Billionaire Thomas Lee has died, with one report claiming the 78-year-old financier died of a self-inflicted gunshot. The report in the New York Post said Lee was found shot in a sixth-floor office at 767 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan shortly after 11 a.m. on Thursday. The Post reported that access to the office was kept to a minimum. They don't want anyone going to that space right now, not even the building staff, a worker at the building said. New York City's Office of the Chief Medical Examiner will release an official cause of death. Known as the THL, left it in 2005 and went on to found Lee Equity Partners in 2006. He worked as a chairman there until his death. The family is extremely saddened by Tom's death. While the world knew him as one of the pioneers in the private equity business and a successful businessman, we knew him as a devoted husband, father, grandfather, sibling, friend, and philanthropist who always put others' needs before his own, Michael Citrick, representing the family, said in a statement. Our hearts are broken. We ask that our privacy be respected and that we be allowed to grieve, he said. Lee's former firm called him a pioneer. We are profoundly saddened by the unexpected passing of our good friend and former partner, Thomas H. Lee, THL said in a press release late on Thursday, according to the Financial Times. Tom was an iconic figure in private equity. He helped pioneer an industry and mentored generations of young professionals who followed in his footsteps, according to CNN. Now, I don't quote CNN very often, but Lee's net worth was about $2 billion, according to Forbes. Lee donated extensively to the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, Museum of Modern Art, and the Whitney Museum of American Art. I've been lucky to make some money. I'm more than happy to give some of it back, Lee said in 1996 after donating $22 million to Harvard University. CNN noted that in 1997, a Forbes profile summed up Lee as that rare thing on Wall Street, a genuinely nice guy. Now, I found this article that is really kind of disturbing in WND, World News Daily. And the headline on it was, having sex with animals suddenly legal in Western nation. No penalty if there were no injuries that require veterinary treatment. Man and woman biblical marriage was the family standard for, well, a millennia. Then came the homosexual ideology and lesbian and transgender activism. Some outbreaks of advocacy for polygamy have already appeared. What's left? How about bestiality? A report from Not the Bee has explained, quote, in case you didn't think the world was sinking low enough with all the gender pedophilia craziness, I give you Spain's new animal welfare law that decriminalizes having sex with animals, because zoophiles are just another spectrum of on the trans flag. See where all this is going, folks? The report explained that zoophilia affirming law was pushed by Ion Valera Ortega, the Minister of Social Rights and 2030 Agenda, in addition to championing human-animal love, and the 2030 Agenda Ministry also oversees family affairs. Now, get this. They want us to make having sex with animals the normal. But here's what else they protect. They oversee family affairs, minors protection, and that's minors, M-I-O-N-O-R-E-O-R-S, not M-I-N-E-R. So it's for kids protection, disability and prevention of youth crime, adoptions and foster care, and promotion of cultural communication and youth association. So they have a lot to do with the youth, folks. And they want to make having sex with animals lawful. This is where the world is going wrong, folks. The report explained the Nation of Spain's update was to a law that previously criminalized bestiality, which it should be criminalized. That originally said the person who by any means or procedure mistreats a domestic or tamed animal, an animal that is usually domesticated, an animal that is temporarily or permanently lives under human control, or any animal that does not live in the wild, causing injuries that seriously impairs its health or subjects the animal to sexual exploitation, shall be subject to a minimum of 3 months and up to a maximum of 1 year in prison. That's what the law said. The report also noted the new version states, the person who by any means or procedure mistreats a domestic or tamed animal, an animal that is usually domesticated, an animal that temporarily or permanently lives under human control, outside of legally regulated activities, including acts of a sexual nature, causing injuries that require veterinary treatment to the restoration of its health, shall be subject to a minimum of 3 months up to a maximum of 18 months in prison. The report charged that the change to that or subjects the animal to the sexual exploitation line essentially means that as long as there isn't a physical injury that requires veterinary treatment, people are free to have sex with animals. How sick is this, folks? The report said in 2019, 8.2% of Spanish veterinarians had been suspected examples of sexually abused and have seen suspected examples of sexually abused animals. This is sad, folks. A report on the Ross de Boss blog reported Spain also made changes that now let children as young as 12 to legally change their gender. Oh, my God, folks. The editor's note on this, long the world's most Christian nation, America today is being taken over by a new official national religion, one being imposed on the entire populace by every major societal institution, from government, media, and by big tech to academia and entertainment and business. This new state religion is wokeism. And we've been seeing this with Governor DeSantis has been fighting this in his state. Other states like New Mexico and California and New York and are allowing this kind of stuff to happen. This new weak woke consciousness has turned America upside down, from the nationwide Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots in 2020 to tearing down historical monuments to demanding multi-million dollar reparation payments for blacks, transgenders, and top government officials to rampant reverse discrimination in every area of life to the U.S. military imposing mandatory diversity training and transgender pronoun use on all personnel, causing recruitment to disastrously plummet. Yet there is hope. Being saved, which in wokeism is called being woke, is largely a matter of worshiping victimhood by becoming an ally and a defender of all the many victim classes. And folks, if we look at this thing with the victim classes, the left has us in. There are so many classes going on now, and there's getting to be more and more every day. And a determined enemy of the strategic straight white male oppressor class, thus joining the righteous as an ally, even if one is cursed to being to be a straight white male, opens the door mercifully for salvation, even to the most wretched. That is the power of the religion of wokeism. And it's explored as never before in February 2023 issue of WND's critically acclaimed monthly whistleblower magazine. If you've ever wondered, for example, exactly how the most radical elements in American society are successfully pressuring the biggest corporations into adopting the most outrageous and immoral policies imaginable, even when doing so permanently damages and devalues the company, the stunning answers are in the issue of Whistleblower titled Wokeism, America's Official State Religion. It's something to read for folks. We need to start figure out how to keep things from happening. One of the things that I found this week were a couple of books that were put out by the Heritage Foundation. One of them is called Critical Race Theory, Knowing It When You See It and Fighting It When You Can. And this is something that really needs to be looked at here, folks. The other book that I found is called The Five Lies of CRT. And I'm going to read these to you because they're not very long. They're like one of them is only 20 pages long. The other one is not hardly long at all. But critical race theory, or CRT, is a philosophy founded by law professors who used Marxist analysis to claim that America is, quote, systemically racist, unquote. Critical race theorists have been active in colleges and universities for years, but their impact on public policy was limited until just recently. The precepts of CRT have now burst outside the universities, affecting K through 12 schools, workplaces, houses of worship, state and federal governments, and even the military. CRT's discrimination in favor of equality under the law and opportunity for all, regardless of skin color, as a new tactic against the grassroots, this grassroots opposition, CRT's defenders now deny that the K-12 curricula and work-life training programs in question include CRT's prejudicial principles. However, there are bedrock features common to all critical theorists and practitioners. How to identify critical race theory. Systemic racism. Critical race theory's key assertion is that racism is not the result of individual conscious racist actions or thoughts. Racism is systemic and structural. It is embedded in America's legal system, institutions, and free enterprise system and imposes whiteness as the societal norm. The system, including capitalism, is rigged to reward white behavior and preserve white supremacy. curricula and training sessions that teach that racism is systemic and cultural and structural, and demand that Americans work to dismantle laws, traditions, norms, institutions, and free market enterprise, the entire American system itself, are part of CRT. CRT at work, it's important to try to help youth understand how bias and oppression are institutional, structural, and systemic, and not simply interpersonal, asserts Dorinda Carter Andrews, chairman of the Department of Teacher Education at Michigan State University. Now, the facts. Racial discrimination is illegal in America. In the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the government rejected racial discrimination and made it illegal in all public aspects of our lives. Likewise, civil rights movement affirmed that prejudice has no place in American life. There are racists in America as well as in all other countries, but the vast majority of Americans we work and worship with, live and learn alongside, embrace the equal rights and dignity of all. The left doesn't. There is no evidence to suggest that our social order is oppressive and dangerous. CRT improperly focuses on completely overhauling our social order as a cure to any individual racism that still exists in America, instead of recognizing the individual factors and solutions involved. Race drives beliefs and behaviors. Critical race theory proponents say that American culture is a conspiracy to perpetuate white supremacy by imposing white concepts on people of other races. Thus, members of minority groups must reject habits and ideas practiced by other cultures, even if the activities promote community cohesion and individual well-being. CRT champions curricula and diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI programs, that separate individuals by race or teach that concepts such as being on time, hard work, and literacy are products of white values and should be rejected by minorities. So if you are taught that you are supposed to, when you have a job, be on time, that when you have a job, you work hard, and be literate, on page 223. The facts. To accuse American culture of being a front for white culture, as CRT does, is an insult to Americans of all ethnicities and backgrounds who have flourished in America and contributed significantly. American culture is based on a timeless understanding of rights rooted in the inherent value and nature of the human race. People of all colors and national backgrounds come here and flourish because our culture embraces common humanity and dignity. It's plain simple. In fact, throughout our history, Black Americans have worked, sacrificed, and built institutions that have had an enormous impact on American culture. These efforts represent the American way. Just as the Civil Rights Act fulfilled America's promises of freedom and opportunity to people of every race and ethnicity. White privilege. Because critical race theorists see American culture as cementing white supremacy, they say that white people are born with unearned privilege and that other Americans are denied. This produces a whiteness premium that prevents working class whites from collaborating with working class blacks to change the economic system. Reflecting its Marxist origins, CRT asserts that to achieve the unification of the working class, whites must recognize their white privilege and renounce it. Any curricula or diversity, equity, inclusion, or DEI program that compels students or employees to accept their white privilege and or work to abandon it are part of CRT. CRT at work. As Derek Bell writes in Race, race, racism, and American law, segregation represented an economic political compromise between the elite and working class whites that gave to the poor the sense of superiority while retaining the substance for the rich. I swear, man, the facts. Individual choices and decisions have a greater impact on our happiness, well-being, and success than any other factor. Social science research finds that once family characteristics are accounted for, racial differences in life outcomes are significantly diminished. Children from intact families are less likely to spend time in prison or face poverty than children from non-intact families. Nearly all black millennia Americans who finished high school get a job and get married before they have children avoid poverty, putting middle-class status above or within reach. Growing up in an intact family is the best advantage we can give children of any race or background. The vast majority of Americans of all colors do not want to overthrow the American system because they see it allows them to flourish. The system won't allow non-whites to succeed, so meritocracy is a myth. Critical race theory teaches that whites have rigged the system. So the criteria used to measure merit and success in school or the workplace are not objective, but are designed to keep white individuals on top. Hiring metrics and workplace benchmarks such as punctuality and logical thinking need to be eliminated if non-whites are to succeed. Any curriculum or training program that says colorblindness is a myth and advocates for eliminating standard measurements of success, including standardized testing for university admissions or reasons for racial equity, are part of CRT. CRT at work. In short, merit serves as the phony pennant of colorblindness used as justification for opposition to affirmative action, claims Derek Bell in Popular Democracy. Now, here's what I have to say about this, folks. If I was black and I was told that I would not be able to get into a university and do as well as a white can unless the tables were turned against the whites and elevated to help me, that would insult me to no end. It would insult me because that essentially is telling blacks, you can't succeed unless we help you. Many blacks have succeeded without them helping. They did it on their own with their own blood, sweat, and tears. They did it with their own hard work. And no, it is not just a white thing to work hard and be made to do things like that. That's just stupid and ridiculous. But that is where CRT lies. Now, the other book that I had for you was The Five Lies of CRT. And this one is something to listen to, folks. Lie number one, CRT is not taught in schools. This is the one most often heard, the most superficial and easiest to dispel. Indeed, the smartest of the progressives, such as Rui Teixeira, have begun advising their ranks to abandon this clearly failed blunder. Still, the Joy Reads of this world outnumber the Teixeiras, so it's worth taking a crack at this first. Of course, any other CRT apologists are not being assigned to third graders. To do would probably constitute child abuse and violate several UN guidelines. But what matters in CRT is the praxis, the application of the discipline to real life in order to transform it, and this is certainly being done. Through CRT, praxis it was already in evidence in K-12 prior to 2020. the spasmodic disruption of American society by Black Lives Matter organizations last year has made CRT explode. Such implementation of CRT, which is what practice is, violates the law, especially the Civil Rights Act and the Constitution, which prohibit respectively treating students differently because of their race or national origin, and the government's unequal treatment of Americans because of their race. As we can see here, teachers' unions have been a great deal more forthcoming with their use of CRT, and we thank them for their candor. Lie number two. CRT is just a way to give previously marginalized people the attention they have lacked. This is probably the most pernicious of all the lies. We heard it most recently from the lips of Brian Stelter, who probably was not being pernicious in intent, but repeating something he had heard. This particular lie is based on CRT and earlier critical theory notation that physical reality may be apprehended through the five senses and is comprehended through the conceptual superstructure that orders our thinking. In race variant of CT, that is critical race theory, that superstructure is white supremacy, which in the words of CRT scholar Richard Delgado is embedded in the ordinary business of society. The conceptual superstructure is ecocentric and wrongly universalizes a male, cisgender, white view of the world. It is therefore destroyed. CRT, however, is not the least bit interested in bringing minority voices to the forefront of debate. Witness the caustic, overly dramatic language that Bell himself used when George H.W. Bush appointed Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court, or for that matter, the cruel buffoonery of Michael Eric Dyson in his treatment of the Lieutenant Governor-elect of Virginia, Winsome Sears. CRT is only interested in promoting leftist voices that will help overthrow what they see as America's cultural hegemony with their preferred counter-hegemony, which is Marxist. And that's looking at the lie number three. And I got lie number three here somewhere. I know I do. There it is. Lie number three. CRT is not Marxist. That's lie number three. This is a lie spread by those who know it to be a lie, and men repeated by the gullible, whom the Kremlin used to affectionately call useful idiots. All of CRT firmament knows itself as being Marxist, and affirmation made by Angela Harris, Delgado, and others. Critical race theory came straight out of critical legal theory, sometimes known as critical legal studies, which came out of the critical theory of the Frankfurt School, which was the first and most important of the Western Marxist schools, and which, along with Antonio Gramsci, replaced Karl Marx's economic determinism with the view that the cultural superstructure or hegemony was what dictated the actions or non-actions of the workers, not material relations. We are coming up on the end of the first half hour of this show, of the third hour, actually. And so I'm going to go ahead and take my break now, and then I'll get to lie number four and five. We will be right back after these messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Break, I was reading Five Whys of PRT, and this was from a book that was put out by the Heritage Foundation. We got to lie number three, read it. Now we're at lie number four as to what the lies of CRT. And this one is, those opposed to CRT are just don't want history taught. Here we have a bold-faced lie. It is not true of anyone in the space that I inhabit. I have never heard Chris Rufo, James Lindsay, James Burke, or Lindsay Burke, Jonathan Butcher, Jay Green, Nicole Niley, Max Eden, or anyone else with whom I have collaborated express a statement even close to this. We all want American history taught, warts and all. Do we want children to be told the lies of the 1619 Project, such as, for example, that the colonists rebelled because they feared Britain would end slavery? No, because that came from the pen of a fabulist. No one in their right mind would want their children to be taught that 2 plus 2 equals 5 either. That was lie number four. Now here's the last one, lie number five. The use of CRT is a cynical ploy. I have to laugh at this one. Is a cynical ploy by Republicans. This falsehood is repeated sometimes by even people who believe there is a problem with what schools are teaching, but who hold also that CRT has been wrongly used by anti-CRT movement. What we in this movement label CRT is CRT. Far from a cynical ploy, we can say that what is being waged at the moment is a battle royal for the soul of America, if not the West itself. What the purveyors of CRT want to do is to replace what they regard as the American hegemonic narrative of white supremacy with their counter-narrative, which is Marxist. See number three. Now, I read you number three. And, oh, heck, where is it? So I can't find number three. Oh, well, I read it to you.
But it says that that is part of a long-standing strategy first conceived by Gramsci to infiltrate cultural institutions and destroy society's conceptual framework. Last year's mayhem facilitated their bid to usurp power. The anti-CRT pushback is just a matter of the American people confronting this strategy and saying no. These, then, are the lies told by the folks propagating CRT. Don't fall for them. That's just it, folks. Don't fall for them. Just like real socialism, real feudalism has never been tried. And this was from the Federalist. It says, if we judge a political system purely on its promises rather than its actual consequences, why not give feudalism another shot? That's what's said by Elad Vida. The lines of ink of the Communist Manifesto, published 175 years ago, have led to oceans of blood since Karl Marx issued his promise that workers who embrace communism have nothing to lose but their chains. Regimes inspired by his philosophy have afflicted hundreds of millions of people, including the workers who are supposed to benefit from communism, with things worse than chains, gulags, famines, and firing squads. Yet defenders of the Communist Manifesto in particular, and communism in general, make excuses for Marx's harmful ideology. Many of them may be well-meaning, but sadly misled by Marx's vision of a perfect, classless workers' paradise. This vision clashes so strongly with the reality of communist countries crushing their citizens that Marx's apologists don't understand how Marx's supposedly admirable vision led to such suffering. They insist either that real communism or socialism, which in essence is the same thing, has never truly been tried, or that real life examples of communist brutality don't constitute real communism. Now, if you remember right, when Hillary Clinton was running, she says socialism, you know, she was told that socialism never worked. And she says socialism hasn't been tried the way I want to. The influential political thinker Noam Chomsky, for example, published a 1986 essay titled The Soviet Union Versus Socialism, in which he claimed that the USSR did not have a socialist, but rather a state capitalist system. The Daily Beast has previously claimed that Cuba is a kleptocracy, not communist. And Newsweek, in a 2017 article, cited several thinkers who insisted that North Korea, perhaps the best example of the horrors wrought by Marxism, had rejected communism decades ago. These excuses are dangerous because they make it seem like communism is a noble philosophy that only gets a bad reputation because of bad people who failed to correctly implement it. Realize how wrong this approach is. Imagine if Marx's apologists gave such a get-out-of-jail-free card to any other political system, feudalism, for instance. If we judge a political system purely on its promises rather than its actual consequences, why not give feudalism another shot? Feudal society was animated by beautiful ideas. The code of chivalry, a set of life rules for knights, called on Europe's armored heroes to defend the weak, never lie, and be everywhere and always the champion of the right and the good against injustice and evil. According to the legendary song of Roland, knights also had to respect the honor of women and live by honor and for glory. Who wouldn't want knights riding around fighting injustice and evil? It wasn't just men with shields and swords who were driven by noble ideals. Medieval society was split into three classes: those who pray, the clergy; those who work,
the peasants, and those who fight, the aforementioned noble knights. As one contemporary medieval scholar described the system, the farmer labors for our food, the warrior must fight against our enemies, and the servant of God must continually pray for us and fight spiritually against the unseen foes. Sounds perfect, right? Almost too good to be true. In a utopian society, this system would work because it's based on reciprocity and love for your neighbor. Peasants provide food to sustain the clergy and the warriors. The clergy take care of the spiritual needs of the peasants and the warriors. The warriors protect the peasants and the clergy from evildoers. And the fruits of medieval society speak for themselves. We owe great thanks to the Middle Ages for the rich Western culture heritage we take for granted today. That is, when we're not trying to destroy it. Our medieval ancestors wrote eloquent and witty poems like the Canterbury Tales, safeguarded ancient Greek and Roman literature for future generations to enjoy, and built marvels of architecture like the Chartres Cathedral, the magnificence of which we still appreciate centuries later. And if the beauties of Middle English poetry aren't enough to convince you to bring back feudalism, think about how cool it would be to have a Duke of Orange County or the Viscount of Virginia representing you instead of some boring councilman or senator. Naysayers might grumble, sure, this all sounds good in theory, but what about the oppressed peasants who were tied to the land they tilled? What about the lack of freedom of religion or speech, or the endemic warfare? To that we may reply that real feudalism has never been tried, just like Hillary Clinton has said about socialism. Issues like war crimes and starvation weren't problems in the feudal system itself, but with people who actually lived in feudal society, if knights were simply more knightly and followed the ideals of the code of chivalry, they wouldn't have burnt down villages and slaughtered innocents in times of armed conflict. If nobles were more noble, they wouldn't have oppressed their peasants. If priests were more Christian, they would have sold all their earthly possessions and given the profits to help feed the poor. Of course, these excuses sound ridiculous because we know the problems with feudal society couldn't have been solved by nobles acting nobly. But the difference between trying to resurrect feudalism and trying to implement communism is that many more people have done the latter with catastrophic results. Like feudal ideals, communist philosophy sounds beautiful. Marx envisioned a perfect world where society regulates the general production, freeing a man from being tied down to one profession and allowing him to hunt in the morning, fish in the afternoon, rear cattle in the evening, and criticize after dinner. In this socialist paradise, social classes would cease to exist and everyone would be completely equal. Sounds like heaven on earth, almost too good to be true. The problem is that some people are understandably attached to their private property, which Marx wanted to abolish. After all, who would voluntarily give up the house they toiled for decades to acquire? And if these selfish property owners decide not to be charitable with the fruit of their life's work, well, it is up to the state to steal their stuff, murdering or torturing anyone who resists. Marx wasn't shy about recognizing the need for violence against communism's opponents. He admitted that there is only one way in which the murderous death agonies of the old society and the bloody birth throes of the new society can be shortened, simplified, and concentrated, and that way is revolutionary. If any doubts remain about his sanguinary disposition, he also wrote, "We have no compassion, and we ask no compassion from you. When our turn comes, we shall not make excuses for the terror," unquote. Given Marx's embrace of terror and bloody methods required to enact communism, it is clear that the psychopaths responsible for the Soviet gulags, the Cambodian killing fields, and the at least 45 million who died under Mao Zedong's rule were not betrayers of communism, but faithful followers of communism and Marx's highest champions. They followed their master's blueprints perfectly. The dangerous idea of communism really just means sharing is caring, is not just wrong, it is evil. Communism should be viewed with the same disdain we hold for fascism. Ironically, Americans would be much safer if they lived under Don Quixote, who wanted to make chivalry cool again, than they would under a Marxist regime. Nobody in their right mind would want to return to the politics of the Middle Ages, but if given a choice between enjoying an occasional jousting tournament in Central Park or starving in a communist prison camp, I know which one I would choose. It says that Elad Vida is a staff writer for the Common Sense Society. So, we finally get to what is going on with Buttigieg's Ohio train derailment, and GOP is probing his train derailment response. And this was from Newsmax. Congressional Republicans are now opening a probe of the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment and hazardous chemical spill, including the Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg's response. In a letter to Buttigieg Friday, House Committee on Oversight and Accountability Republicans said they were opening an investigation into the February 3rd derailment of the 150-car Norfolk Southern freight train in the town of East Palestine that resulted in a massive fire and controlled release and burn of hazardous chemicals, including vinyl chloride. In a letter signed by 21 Republican House committee members said, quote, "This incident is an environmental and public health emergency that now threatens Americans across state lines. Despite the DOT's responsibility to ensure safe and reliable transportation in the United States, you ignored the catastrophe for over a week," unquote. Buttigieg, judge, visited the site Thursday, a day after GOP 2024 presidential candidate and former president Donald Trump toured the site and brought supplies to the town of about 5,000 residents. "The American people deserve answers as to what caused the derailment, and DOT needs to provide an explanation for its leadership's apathy in the face of this emergency," the letter continued. In response, The Hill reported that Buttigieg posted on Twitter that the incident was more than a jurisdiction of National Transportation Safety Board than the DOT. "I am alarmed to learn that the chair of House Oversight Committee thinks that the NTSB is part of our department," The Hill reported he wrote on Twitter. "Still, of course, we will fully review this and respond appropriately." As President Joe Biden's administration seemed to struggle responding to the disaster, Biden made a surprise visit to Ukraine, where he announced an additional $500 million in aid for the war effort against Russia there. Well, why didn't he send this money to East Palestine, Ohio? I can tell you in several words. Because East Palestine is part of America. That is why the left does not like America. "The American people deserve answers as to what caused the derailment, and DOT needs to provide an explanation for its leadership apathy in the face of this emergency. I am alarmed to learn that the chair of the House Oversight Committee thinks that the NTSB is part of our department," The Hill reported he wrote on Twitter. "Still, of course, we fully review this and respond appropriately." As President Joe Biden's administration seemed to struggle responding to the disaster, Biden made his surprise visit to Ukraine, where he announced an additional $500 million in aid for the war effort against Russia there. Back in Washington on Friday, Biden told reporters that he still has no plans to visit the Ohio town, but praised his administration's response for being on the ground there within 2 hours of the derailment. At this moment, not planning to visit East Palestine, Biden said in a video posted on Twitter, I posted a whole video on Zoom. I had a long meeting with my team and what they were doing. We were there after two hours after the train was down. He said he spoke with every major figure in Pennsylvania and Ohio regarding the crash. He said, quote, the idea that we are not engaged is simply not fair. In addition, there was not a request made even before I was heading over to Ukraine, unquote. There shouldn't have to be one made. There wasn't one made to Trump to go there, was there? But he went anyway. The letter said the committee was deeply concerned about the DOT's slow pace in resolving this matter. The members asked Buttigieg to provide a number of documents to the committee by March 10th. And one of the last articles that I wanted to read about tonight, one of the last ones from Newsmax, Senator Cruz to Newsmax, feckless Biden is a major cause of the Ukraine war. Absolutely. He is. He is the cause. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, told Newsmax Friday that President Joe Biden is a feckless commander-in-chief who is a major cause of the war in Ukraine. When it comes to foreign policy, President Joe Biden has managed for over 2 years now to get everything exactly backwards, Cruz said during his appearance on Newsmax's Chris Salcedo show. He has managed to alienate and abandon our friends and allies and simultaneously to show weakness and to show appeasement to our enemies. Look at Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, his surrender to the Taliban, he continued. When that happened, every enemy of America looked to Washington, looked to the Oval Office. They took a measure of the man. And they concluded that the commander-in-chief was weak and feckless and ineffective. That was the major cause of the war in Ukraine. Remember, it didn't happen under Trump. Cruz added that when Biden began his term in office, he waived sanctions that were put in place on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline by former President Donald Trump, which allowed Russia's state-owned gas company, Gazprom, to finish the project. The undersea pipeline allows Russia to export natural gas to Europe and circumvent Ukraine. If Biden had just found the guts to stand up to Russia and stand up to Putin at the outset, we wouldn't have this war, Cruz said. The Texas Republican also said the Biden administration is playing both sides of the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, which marked its first anniversary on Friday. There's a coherence in how Biden is approaching it because Biden administration is literally funding both sides of this war, Cruz said. Biden is obviously sending billions of dollars to Zelensky in Ukraine, but he's also refusing to enforce sanctions against Iran, he continued. He's allowing the Ayatollah to sell a million barrels a day of oil and revenue that is going to Iranian drones that the Russians are using to kill Ukrainians. So both sides are being funded by Biden. It makes no sense. And that is absolutely the freaking truth. It makes absolutely no sense. I have enjoyed doing this show. We had a lot of things that we had to talk about, and we did talk about a lot of things. I'm going to try to do now what I can to start doing a three-hour show weekly. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do this, but the last couple of weeks I've found a lot of stuff to talk about. And the one thing that I started out this thing about was the radical bill, gun control bills that are in the 2023 session of the New Mexico legislature. And I read these things out. And there are several here that are really, and there are several here, there's actually one here that really has to be talked about. And that is the one from Joy Garrett, House Bill 238 here in New Mexico, which makes it a felony to discharge a firearm in a densely populated area, and that term densely populated area is undefined in the bill, which essentially leaves it open to whatever they want to make it in the future. But the bill is with no exceptions for self-defense, which means that if you fire a gun in your home at a person who is breaking into your house or threatening you and your family and you shoot him, you're the outlaw. You're the one who is the criminal. Because the way they've got that worded, if you're in your house and somebody comes in and you shoot them, then what it will be is a felony because you discharge a firearm in a densely populated area that is not defined in the bill. So that means that they can say that the neighborhood is the densely populated area and that you fired your firearm inside this densely populated area, even though it was inside your house. So you are now a criminal. It is a felony. And there is no exceptions for self-defense, which is essentially what I just talked about. So there's no exceptions for that. Indoor shooting ranges. And that brings me to the other one that I wanted to talk about. You have these indoor shooting ranges where you can go and pay to shoot your gun at targets. This bill also excludes them. It doesn't exclude them. It makes no exceptions for this. So that means that in the future, if they get this passed, that means in the future, folks, they can go after this and say, okay, these gun ranges, they're illegal. You can't do it anymore. You have to shut them down. There's where they're going. Folks, they want to get rid of our abilities to defend ourselves. They want to get rid of our ability to do all the things that we do as Americans, that we have the right to do as Americans, that we have in the Constitution, the Second Amendment right. Which it says, Amendment 2 is a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And every time a politician wants to take your guns away, the question you need to ask them is, what part of the right to the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed do you not understand? That is very plain English. You cannot infringe on that right. And then Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. They've been going after that one too. Newsmax is no longer on DirecTV because of that. DirecTV went against Amendment 1, and they've gotten away with it so far. When it came to the plandemic, our right to religion was taken away from us because we were told you cannot go to church. Only a few churches in this nation actually looked at that and said, huh, no, 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 no. This isn't going to happen. But we are at the end of the show. We hope that you enjoyed the show. We will be back next week.
Another thing that you probably failed to mention was that when kids grow up with a father, they're a lot less likely to indulge in crime.
No, that's, I talked about that.
Okay, good.
I'm hoping
that that's part
of the
Thank you.